Welcome back to the Chicken and Kool-Aid podcast. We're on season 2, episode number 16. And as you all may know, I am definitely a foodie. I do a lot of food reviews. In the in all types of different of genres of food, from soul food to African cuisine, definitely Mexican food, Italian food, you know, anything from sandwiches, you name it. But of course, there is this big social media explosion of all types of African Americans showing off their skill in regards to how to prepare food. And from that, with the content that's spreading all over the world, as a matter of fact, one thing that I have noticed, especially for people like me, who look like me, is that there is a very, very large increase of supporting small Black or African American business owners when it comes down to either creating food content or actually people are actually purchasing food from these small business vendors. And to me, I think that that's fantastic. I think that is great. If you follow the Chicken and Kool-Aid podcast, you could go back probably about a year. You could scroll through the content that I've made. And I talked about the importance of how African Americans should start making tacos, because it's a sustainable business. And tacos don't cost a lot. They're to make. They're economically affordable. And also, they're economically affordable for the customer as well. And I found that to be rather interesting. But in places like Chicago, North Carolina, Washington, D.C., Detroit, Los Angeles, New Orleans, I mean, you name it. Even small places or small cities like Shreveport, Louisiana, Rockford, Illinois, you know, to mid-major cities like Cleveland, Ohio, everywhere, there are small African-American vendors. And this has given us, as Black people, the opportunity to do what? To recycle the Black dollar. What a beautiful way for us to start sharing our resources amongst each other. Now, you all know I'm very, very big on us having an actual food track, meaning us actually being able to grow and produce our own food and actually eat the food from the land. And I think that we have a definite extravagant business opportunity for us to actually start to see some growth in the poor African-American community, I would say. The ones that are people such as myself who are making, let's just say, anywhere from, let's just say, $30,000 to $45,000 to $50,000 a year, you know. And why is that important? I'm going to share with you all an experience that I had over the weekend. And one of my friends came and picked me up, and he was saying that he wanted me to, for whatever reason, he was trying to go into the store and, you know, get the love potion. So those blue pills, for everybody that don't know. Anyway, it was strange. I'm like, man, why can't you go in here and get your own, you know, love potion or whatever? kind of strange, kind of weird. But he said, you know what? Hey, listen here, man. If you go in here, I'll get you anything that you want. So he handed me about $40. I go into the store. This is a liquor store, of course. And I am, you know, there are three, I would say from anywhere from 27 to 35-year-old men that are behind the counter. And these men, they're either Indian or, you know, somewhere in that demographic, you know, whether they're from Saudi Arabia, wherever, you know. And I had asked the person that was serving me to go ahead and hand me a blue guy. That's what my homie called a pill, a blue guy. And he said, okay. And then I asked for two beers, because that's what my friend had wanted, two beers. And I was going to get some tequila. And also, he had wanted a Jazz Black and Mild and a pack of Newports. So when I asked him how much was it, the guy told me about $35 even. So I said, okay, you know, not a problem. So as he was putting the stuff in there, I'm like, so where's the pill that I had asked for? He was like, oh, I didn't put it in there. And I was like, okay. I was like, so when were you going to tell me that? Talking to the guy in a very calm, low manner tone. And he was like, well, we don't have any. I was like, okay. I was like, are you sure? He was like, yes. So I was like, hey, look, I came in here specifically for that, number one. And number two, if you don't have that, then I don't want any of the things that I purchased, you know, because that was the main scenario for him to buy me what I wanted. So I was like, I don't want to come back to the car empty handed. So at this point in time, one of the people or one of the gentlemen that was behind the counter said, there are no refunds. I was like, what? It's like, yeah. And he raised his voice. He was like, there are no refunds. It's like, is there a sign or what's going on? It's like, we don't do refunds here. I was like, hey, listen, I didn't walk out of the store with any of this. Nothing is open. I just gave you my money. Like, why not give it back? And he was like, we're not giving you anything back. And I was like, well, it's interesting that you say that, because I'm not giving you anything, and I'm quite sure that you wouldn't give me anything neither, you know? And he was like, well, you're right. I'm not giving you anything. I was like, so you expect for me to pay for this and leave the things that I don't want behind? Like, what sense does that make? He was like, and then that's when he started getting loud. He was like, buddy, no refunds. And I was like, okay. It's like, listen here, man, you finna get my money back. You know, that's it. I'm not joking around. You know, I don't mean to start any trouble, but, you know, just refund the money. So we end up going back and forth. And he was looking at me as, I don't know. He didn't have any respect for me, I felt. So I had to communicate with him in a manner, letting him know that, you know, hey, look, I don't have any respect for you neither. Matter of fact, I really don't care about anything, but I just want the money back. You know, everything is cool. So eventually, after probably about 10 minutes of us yelling and screaming at each other, he finally gave the money back. And I'm like, man, you know, you have a store full of products in here. You know, I didn't steal anything. You know, we didn't really have to go through all of this. So I'm saying this, the reason why I'm giving you all this example is because he was so adamant about being able to maintain my money to where he really didn't care. He wanted me to just to break down and just say, you know what, man, don't worry about it here, you know, I'll, you know, and just walk out the door. But then I thought about it. I was like, you know what? I just paid him within 15 minutes, $35. Like, why am I even doing this? So
I said to my partner, I let him know when I got in the car. I was like, "Hey, bro, I'm never coming back to this store. I'm not supporting these people anymore. I don't feel comfortable with them. Looking at me just like, as a money symbol." And that's it. I was like, I would much rather spend my money with people who look like me. And if I have to go through a difficulty or a scenario, I would much rather it be with someone who looks like me, because worst case scenario, at least I'm supporting a black business. And to me, that was a very, very horrific customer service experience. And I didn't appreciate the tone that this gentleman had. So I'm on TikTok a lot. And of course, I see all types of different food reviews. I'm a food fanatic. I love it. And all of a sudden, I run across this guy, and his name is Keith Lee. Y'all can look him up on Instagram. I mean, not on Instagram, on TikTok. He goes around the country and he goes to different restaurants and he gives his food review. Very, very professional. He spends his own money. He orders large portions of food and he provides his feedback not only on the food, but also based upon customer service, the cleanliness of the restaurant, how they actually take their orders, do they do DoorDash? It's a really, really cool, very, very interesting and deep diving introspect on how he breaks these restaurants down. But now Mr. Lee is in an area in Atlanta and he is basically doing food reviews on black-owned soul food restaurants or black-owned food restaurants, whether it's a breakfast and a diner or a breakfast spot, someone that serves Jamaican soul food, classic American, barbecue, whatever it is, he's going there. And what Mr. Lee has started to expose, well, not even expose, he's just given his honest opinion and honest view, is that some of the restaurants there in Atlanta have really, really poor customer service that are black owned. Some of them, the food is not good. But black people still go there to get the food. Specifically, I think that he highlighted the Old Lady Gang, which is a soul food restaurant that is owned by Candy, which is Candy Burris or Burgess, that was on the Real Housewives of Atlanta. And her husband, Todd, they own the restaurant. And he stated that when he went there, they stated that it was an hour and a half wait. They were not accepting to-go orders. And the only way that you could get your food is if you could actually sit and dine. But the difference is when Mr. Lee, when he does these soul food reviews or when he does these restaurant reviews, he actually sends his wife and family in to order the food so that way they won't know that the food is being ordered by an influencer, a social media influencer. And they told his wife an hour and a half. She came back out. She stated what was going on. He asked then, could they order the food to go? They said no. Could they order on DoorDash to go? They said no. Or they attempted, but DoorDash was closed. They had them closed on DoorDash. Just a lot of different things, you know? So he said when he went there, they was like, "Hey, Mr. Lee, we've been expecting you. Hey, we have a table for you." He was like, "You do?" Like, "Yes, come on in, have a seat." And he was like, "Hey, just to let you all know, I just sent my wife here, right? And the rest of our family. And you all told them that the wait was an hour to an hour and 30 minutes. And we're like, well, we didn't know. We definitely do apologize. You know, we've been trying to get you here for quite some time, or, you know, they just chopping it up. Mr. Lee, Keith Lee, the social media influencer, he declined their invite into the restaurant because they stated that the wait was for him was 5 minutes and it was an hour and a half for his wife and the rest of his family. So he declined. He also stated that he is not encouraging anyone not to visit the restaurant Old Lady Gang, I guess OLG. And, you know, he continued about his way and he was going all over Atlanta. So I decided that I was going to take a stab at why that it's important for Mr. Lee to do that. Because number one, it sheds positive attention on the black restaurants that are doing good, that are actually getting the food out, that have good customer service, that are turning the tables. It's, you know, it's a good look to be noticed, because you don't know. I mean, this guy has 1 million views. You know, he's in the millions. He has millions of subscribers. So really and truly, someone like Mr. Lee, Keith Lee, can make or break a business from a tourist standpoint. You know, of course, everybody has their regulars. But in this scenario, a lot of black people were going on record stating that, you know, they've had it with poor customer service. They've had it with not a positive dining experience. They've had it with mid-level food that's overpriced. And for the moment, I wanted to agree with them. But then I thought about it. I said, you know what? We could go in Hermes and have these people follow us around, and they demand whether the product that they're buying is old or new. It's not discounted. When we go to Chinese restaurants, these people, if they're busy, they simply say, wait. When we go to Mexican restaurants, if anybody noticed, the cost of tacos or the price of tacos has increased around the United States, you probably pay about $3 for a single taco now. They used to be about $1.25. Inflation is cool. But sometimes, you know, these people have attitudes too. Sometimes they get the order wrong. Sometimes the rice is not as fresh. They'll charge you almost $4 for a cup of corn. And I was wondering, I'm like, so we'll continue to spend our money with these people that are outside of our community. We won't see anything back from that. We won't see a business grow. We won't recycle our dollars. But when it comes down to these people, we would go to extreme lengths of being uncomfortable just to say, hey, look at this. Oh, look at the cheese that's falling out. You know, we'll do that. And then we'll eat the food and be like, dang, I could have made this at home. Was it really worth it? Places like Morton Steakhouse. Well, you know, for anybody who don't know anything about Morton's, that's a very, very prestigious steak restaurant. They got some very, very good steaks at Morton's. Please believe it. So I think that this opportunity, this is an opportunity provided to us by Keith Lee and the food industry that used to be predominantly dominated by African-American workers in the back cooking the food. Now the landscape is starting to change because of the wave of immigration, undocumented citizens, and the melting pot that the United States has became. So now there's more food options out there, more than ever, even Indian food. I love it. I love chicken biryani. I love the naan bread and, you know, all of these different things. It's wonderful. But I was happy to see that some people were still saying that, hey, look, if the line is long, that must mean the food is good. If the customer service is right, we're going to encourage the owners to get better customer service because we're patronizing their restaurant. We're the customers. We pay more. If we're paying more, we should demand more. And it really doesn't cost nothing to have good customer service. And I was like, oh my God, this was a breakthrough. And the service industry, this is a breakthrough. More and more people are going to be spending money with black owned small businesses. And those people are going to be the majority that look like us. And I have to salute those businesses that are, you know, doing the best that they can to provide a food service for black customers. I really, really do appreciate them. And I also have to provide some encouragement for the ones who are not meeting the actual expectations of customer service, but I'm encouraging them to get better. Because we know from a history that when we go to any other place consistently, the dining experience may be different. They may even tell you that you're not welcome. They may even rush you out of your seat. They maybe let you know that this is only a to-go order or that they're closing. So if we could put up with all of this mistreatment from people who don't look like us, why can't we put up with the small things and just encourage improvement for people that do? And you know what? You never know. Some of these people may even just contact a local black farmer and say, hey, look, you know what? Within a month, I need this many potatoes, tomatoes, and fresh greens and sweet potatoes. Are you able to deliver that? Why, sure. When do you need them? It's a lot of different things that could come from that. That is positive. And I know you all are thinking like, dang, Jerome, you on here talking about sweet potatoes, greens, tomatoes, and potatoes. How is that going to change? What good is that going to change for black people? Let me tell you something. It's going to change a lot. Because that farmer that they're getting that information, that they're getting the food from, is struggling, believe it or not, to have a consistent customer that's constantly buying all throughout the year. That's going to provide at least another job. This is just a blueprint, I think. And I think that it's only the beginning. A lot of times when I'm doing my podcast, a lot of the things that I say are not positive, but they're the truth. In this scenario, I have to commend Mr. Lee and all the small food vendors all over the United States that are coming out here and competing in the marketplace and getting their money. Y'all, let me know what y'all think. Thanks again for tuning in to the Chicken and Kool-Aid podcast. You all have a great day.